I got caught napping, though. Praise God. I have got to have a drink of water. Glory to God. Our Redeemer lives. His name is Jesus Christ. He's the only name that the devil wants to stop. He doesn't want to stop the name of progressivism, liberalism, Buddhism, communism. He doesn't want to stop any of those names. He wants to stop the name of Jesus. The Jews were okay with the disciples preaching. They were okay with the disciples doing the miracles they were doing. But they didn't want them doing it in the name of Jesus. So if you ever wonder why people take the name of Jesus in vain the way they do, it's because they're ignorant. They don't know what they're doing. Pray for them. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what, it is a good thing to be here today. We're starting to see people filter back in. I told Miss Cheryl, I got Miss Rosalie back here on a little walking stick, and they wanted to give me a walker when I left the hospital the other day, and I said, no, I'll be okay. And but then the guys, my friends, supposedly my friends, started coming up with with jokes and things about it. But I'll tell you the best one I heard this morning. Moses is here. got his staff. That's a good one. I loved it. Staff. That's right. But praise God. Tell you what, I am feeling good today. I know I probably should have my back brace on, but I like to breathe too. And with bruised ribs, I'm just going to take my chances with God right now. So I thank you for all your prayers. God has been seeing me through, and everybody was able to come out. And we didn't get to cut anything down yesterday, but we were able to get all the wood that I did have down split and stacked. So praise God. It was just a couple hours, enough people, just perfect amount right there. A good ball game if you're a Buckeyes fan. If you're not, well, sorry. Yeah. But anyhow, praise God. I'm glad God doesn't care about football. So many people take football too serious. They take their sports too serious. Well, I'm going to pray that they win. Why waste your prayers? People on the other side are praying they win. You know what got my attention one time is I was watching Band of Brothers. And I think it was Band of Brothers. And the guy was praying. He was Catholic. And he was praying that the Germans would win. The Germans were praying they would win. They believed in God, the same God. They thought their cause was just. Obviously it wasn't. But they believed that it was. God don't care about your football team. He really don't. He don't care if your favorite team wins anything. Just pray that they do their best. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Father, for your love of mankind, Father, that you don't take sides with your children, Lord. But Father, we thank you and praise you that you love us unconditionally. Now, Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. Lord, I pray that it be a sweet aroma to your nostrils, that it fills the rooms of heaven. In Jesus' name, bless it. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed. Mm-hmm. Why don't you bring my water down, if you wouldn't mind? Oh, yes, praise God. Like I said, I have some good days, and I've been about every other day kind of have a bad day where the muscles in my back are just really tensed up. But I told Angela, I said, I have to praise God actually for the pain. And I know some of you are like, what are you talking about, Pastor? Because if it weren't for my ribs being bruised and my muscles being really torqued, I couldn't have told you my back was broken. And that is a danger. It reminds me I can't do the stupid stuff that I want to do. So, you know, sometimes when you think, oh, but the pain, you know what? I'm praising God I've got the pain right now. It reminds me not to do something, to let the healing happen. So, because you know how it gets sometimes. Oh, hey, I feel good. Let's go do something. And then you're like, what did I do? Why did I do that? We all do it. So now, we're going to finish up the last part of 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to bring it up. We'll read it again. Starting in verse 8. It says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. All right, we're going back into where we know. We know in part. Right now, we only know things in part. When we pray, we only pray in part because we do not know the whole truth. You can say, well, I got this side of the story, and that's the truth. What does Proverbs tell us about judging by one side of a story? Proverbs says you're a fool. You're going to see your side, and I'm going to see my side. You're not going to see everything. Even if it's your child, listen to me, moms and dads. Your children come to you and their spouse, they sing to you a song. Remember, there's another side of the truth. Now, they may be absolutely right. And I'm not saying anybody should stay in an abusive situation. Let's understand that. I'm all for defending yourself, just so you know, ladies. Been many a good man put in his place with a frying pan. Or ball bat. Wasn't it Waylon Jennings? You do not have to take abuse. That is not God's will. That is not love. But, for we now know in part, when we pray, the Bible tells us that when we pray, the Spirit prays through us in a tongue. And the purpose of that is because we cannot handle praying the truth about the situation. Because if we knew the person, if we knew deep down inside who they were, we would probably judge them and pray for God's justice and judgment to come against them instead of praying God's love and His mercy to move through them. Know, the word know, in part, we now know in part, knowledge. That has an inception, a progress, and an attainment. It is the recognition of truth by personal experience. You cannot have true knowledge without experiencing it. I can tell you, let's see, what could I tell you? I can tell you how to build a wall. I can tell you how to do that. But until you do it yourself, you will have absolutely no real knowledge. You have partial knowledge of what the truth is. Because you don't know how to do it. You don't know what it took. You don't know how much effort it took to do that. People look, oh, look, they just threw that building up. It took many, many years of a crew. The crews that work together forever, they are so good. They're fast. They don't even have to talk. They know what is next. They know, one person already is already on that. That is knowledge. They have a working knowledge of each other. They have a working knowledge of their job. If we want real knowledge, we have to grow in it. We have to attain it. You want knowledge about somebody, you got to get to know them. Any preacher that has ever come here to preach, I personally want to spend personal time with them. I don't want a ministry time. I want to know who you are, what makes you tick, why you think the way you think. Now, there's been a few, they don't want that. I don't want them. I'm not going to deny it. You don't want to know me, I don't want to know you. I don't want you spewing your religious jargon where I'm trying to help people grow to be mature believers. The Bible is coming, Jesus is coming back for a grown adult bride, not a child bride. And we need to quit acting like children. All we do is in part. But when that which is perfect, complete, mature, has come. But when that, this is, for some reason, this has become a mysterious spot in Scripture because people say, well, that, what is that? What are we talking about? I mean, I wasn't an English major. As a matter of fact, I flunked English. But even I can tell you the subject of this paragraph is love. It's not tongues, contrary to what people would like to think. It's not prophecy. It's not knowledge. It's love. And the reason he had to bring up those other things is because they are all dependent on love to work. If they are done outside of love, they are manipulation, control, witchcraft. That is what witchcraft is, if you never knew. A lot of people, well, witchcraft is worshiping the devil. You're either for God or you're against God. You worship the devil whether you got pentagrams all over your forehead or not. Let's just be real. But witchcraft is about controlling people. Why do you think they cast spells? To control the situation, to control their other people's lives. They want to instill fear. The Bible already tells, listen, if you're worried about, and witches are real, but there's something you need to understand. The Bible says a causeless curse cannot alight. It cannot come upon you. Don't worry about them. I don't. All these witches, we'll cast a curse upon the president. Oh, please, the blood of Christ is over that man. I'm not going to waste my breath one more time. I pray for that man. Listen, we ran a witch out of this town once. Seriously, do you think I'm worried about one little witch? I don't care if it's all the witches. All the covens in the world come together to put, they can't stand against God. Don't worry about them. But people against tongues and prophecy argue this means that when Scripture was fully assembled, in other words, canonized, then there would be no more need of these gifts. That tongues passed away, prophecy passed away. When Scripture, when that Bible that you've got was all put together and assembled and everybody could finally agree on what was what. You need to understand that was 300 AD. A long time after Paul wrote this. Paul is not talking about a few books being added to what we call our Bible. That's not what he was talking about. He's still talking about love. Because love is perfect already. You need to understand this. Love, God's love, is perfect. It's complete. It's mature already. We are imperfect. We are immature. We mature into God's love. Are you following that? God's love in your life is already perfect. You have to mature in order to be able to see the things that God may show you, to pray for somebody. God may show you something in somebody's life for you to pray for them, not for you to go to the barbershop and tell everybody. So as God's love develops us into mature beings, he won't need to speak encrypted messages, nor will he need to speak mysterious things to him. Because we can speak plainly back and forth. It says, we will speak plainly, as in face to face. You get it? Now, face to face. I don't have to speak in a tongue because I can pray for my brother without judgment. I can pray for my brother without criticizing him. I can sympathize with him Because we have a Savior, a high priest who has been there, who does the exact same thing. So when we can do that, we no longer have the need to do that because we are growing in love. I know people that, well, we're just never going to grow up enough. Well, if you don't want to grow up, then that's fine. I personally want to grow up. I want to grow up spiritually, but I don't want to be so grown up physically that I forgot how to have fun. And that's the problem. People think that when they grew up and forgot how to, they quit having fun, they quit doing things, that, oh, I'm mature, I'm grown up. No, it just means you're a stick in the mud. I do realize now, thanks to my little accident, I probably won't be riding my four-wheeler like I stole it. But I'm still going to ride it. I'm still going to let my kids ride it. As children, we have no control over our mouths. We say things that are hurtful, not realizing that it was. Y'all, most of us can remember being kids, can't you? Can you remember something somebody said to you that hurt you? They were just being a child. But yet those words stuck. Sometimes they are truthful, but they didn't need to be voiced. Sometimes it was just out of innocence that they said it. The first thing we do when our kids they see somebody in a wheelchair, we try to herd them away. Don't ask. Why? But we don't want to hurt them. The kid asked a question. Why are they in a wheelchair? What we think is love is actually our pride. We don't want to deal with the situation. We don't want to tell our kids that sometimes accidents have happened. Sometimes people have gone to war. Sometimes people are born without legs. So we make up stupid traditions as to why things are. Well, God thought they'd be better with wheels. Instead of telling children about thunder, we tell them God, the angels are bowling. I personally like the truth. It's so much more fun to think that electricity going through the air so fast that it makes sound. That's awesome. A ball rolling down a pin, knocking down a pin, isn't awesome to me. As children, we do not think all the way through. We only live for the now, right? You're not thinking about tomorrow as a child. How many of you are already thinking about tomorrow? How many of you are thinking about next week? How many when you were six, you were worried about tomorrow? Very few of us, let alone next week. At this point, at six, I was just looking forward to Christmas break. But you see, as children, there are things that happen. Sometimes, as children, I want this, or I want to go over there, and we don't realize the danger that was involved. When Joshua was two, and he climbed that grain bin, not quite two, he climbed the ladder of a grain bin. Now, fortunately, it wasn't a real tall one, but it's still 25 or 30 feet up where he was at. Under the age of two. Why? Because Joshua wanted to go up there. He didn't think about the consequences of what might happen if he fell. As you get a little older, particularly with a little experience, you think about the consequences for the most part. Okay, I fell once. I'm going to be careful. I'm not going to lie to you. I think twice now. I'm thinking twice about cutting trees. I was out for a walk the other day, and it was the day the wind started blowing real hard, and I'm standing underneath maple trees that I hear going. And I'm looking up. I got my brace on. It's just me and the dog. And I looked around. I was like, I got nowhere to run because I can't run. So I started marching my way up. But I'm going to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, at that point, I realized I have a spirit of fear to stand against. I can't wait to put down my next tree. That's how I'm going to crucify that thing. I'm going to be a little... Have eyeballs in the back of my head this time. I trust no tree now. But when I became an adult, mature, I quit acting foolishly like a child. We're supposed to. See, today we tell a person at 18, you're an adult. All we've done by making 18 the age of adult is saying, we can legally send you out to die for your country, is all we have done. Now, while I neither condone smoking nor drinking, isn't it kind of funny they can die for the country, but they can't buy a pack of cigarettes or drink a beer? I don't condone either one of them. There's a problem. Because I'm going to tell you right now, at 18, you are not mature. I think 25 is about where I started feeling mature. I'd like to say I didn't do stupid things in my early 20s, but I did. Well, I had great responsibility. It didn't mean you were mature. Maturity involves so much more than an age. It goes into how you treat people. I see a lot of people with great maturity in certain areas, and they're totally immature in others. God wants us completely matured. Now, I try to think about my words. We don't always think about every word that comes out, do we? Some, the heat of the moment. Maybe you're speaking out of pain. And now try to think about the outcome of a situation and how my next move may affect it. What is my next move going to do to change the situation here? Anybody ever play chess or checkers? Then you know about thinking about your next move. Why? Because you have to think three moves ahead. Not just yours, your opponent's. You have to think how they're going to react. And the winner is the one who outthought the other one. When we look into a mirror, we only have a small window of who we are, right? A mirror only shows a partial truth. It's only showing you what's on the outside. It doesn't show who you really are, does it? You can look in a mirror, by the way, and it's backwards. I've read this scripture over the years, and I knew I was always right there on the tip of my tongue about the mirror. And yeah, we get it. But then one day I was driving down the road and I was listening to a George Strait song, Troubadour. And he said, the truth about a mirror is that a mirror only, it doesn't show the whole truth of who I am. If you were to look into a mirror right now, you would not see the internal scars. You would not see all the words that have been spoken to you that hurt you. You would not see or feel the things that you went through. Your eyes are the only thing that show it. See, the truth of the matter is, we can't do that with people, can we? We can't look into him and give compassion. We can look in the mirror easily and we can see. We know. I can show you on my face scars. I got cheater pipe caught me in the chin in Okinawa. I got a crowbar to the top of the head when I was 18. I got a few scars. I got a nice big one over here from a cyst when I was in high school. I can look and I know the pain because I'm looking in my eyes. But can you look into somebody else's eyes and see the pain and have compassion and mercy and pray for them? Can you put yourself in their shoes? Well, I don't have to. Yes, you do. You are your brother's keeper. Don't know when this became something that God didn't care about. We are our brother's keeper. We are to pray for people. We're to love them even though we don't like them. You're not going to like everybody in the body of Christ. Just get over it. You don't have to spend every waking minute with them. Well, I just don't like that pastor. Well, I don't care if you like me or not. I'm over it. That mirror only shows our superficial wounds, nothing deep. If I were to take off my shirt right now, you wouldn't see one bruise on my body. I haven't bruised in years. Don't know why. It's not because I didn't get hit with things to bruise me. I've walked into my hitch on my truck a couple times, no bruises. That usually leaves a big one. But there's not one bruise on my ribs, not one bruise on my shoulders and my back. But my ribs are bruised internally. You can't see it. So you don't think about the pain. Me personally, I can feel where my leg was broken when I was in school. I can feel it. Especially when the weather starts changing. It's not a lie, folks. It shows the flaws, wrinkles, etc., but can never reveal the young man or young woman underneath. It'll never show who you are. See, I look in the mirror and I see the hairline. I see the wrinkles starting to show up. And I'm seeing a jawline that I'm not for certain what side of the family it came from. I think it might have been my grandfather on my mom's side, but I'm starting to get little jowls, kind of like a bulldog. Which is appropriate, but the gray, the little silver hairs and things of that nature, I'm seeing them. But the guy in the mirror, he's not that old, is he? You're all the same. We're all the same. Inside, we're 25. We're invincible. We're going to take on the world. I'm going to just keep on trucking. I guess the way I look at it, God kept a tree from crushing me. Oh, but Pastor, you know, it could have been, I know it could have been worse. I got over and looked at the tree the other day. The stump is still there. They didn't cut the stump down. The tree broke off right about here. If that tree had broke higher, I wouldn't be here. As it was, it just knocked me down and rode me down. But God's love. By the way, I credit that to tithing. You can think what you want about tithing. The Bible says he'll rebuke the devourer. The devourer is the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That wolf tried to get in to the sheepfold. He struck another pastor too. Same week with a stroke. Two days later, I break my back. Don't tell me the devil doesn't want to stop what God's doing. We only know in part, we only know God in part. As we mature in this relationship, we will know Him. But you got to talk to God like He's your friend. You got to talk to God like you know Him. And I'm going to tell you something. The deeper your relationship, you can do more things and get away with some things. Do you ever wonder why Abraham got away with what he got away with? Don't mean to tick you off, Lord, but maybe if there's 50, would you spare the city? Okay. Well, just in case, Lord, let's get it down to 10. He kept doing it. Why do you think he got away with it? Because he knew God. God knew Abraham. They had a relationship. If you do not have a relationship with somebody, you don't have squat. I was talking to somebody several months ago, and they were talking to me about how somebody had said something that hurt them. And said, this person doesn't know me. Now, by the way, what that person said was something I could have said, and it had been fine. But this person didn't know this other person. There's no relationship. If you want to get to know me, the first thing you're going to know is I will talk to you eventually as you have, as I feel that you have matured, as if you're my friend. And you can ask some of my friends. You're going to handle a little bit of abuse. I am a Marine after all. But I'll never hurt you. But you see, this person, this other person thought they had a relationship, but they didn't. They thought they could step into my relationship, my place, and poke fun. And they couldn't. And they shouldn't. You have to earn it. We will know God just as He knows us. By the way, God already knows about your scars. He knows what you've been through. He knows who you are. He knows who you've been when people have talked about you. He knows who you've been when people have turned their back on you. He knows all of that. And let me tell you something. When you get, and God gets to know you like that, and you get to know God like that, you'll understand the betrayal that Jesus Christ felt. It wasn't just one disciple that turned their back. Said, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. They all left. Judas just betrayed him. I don't think that hurt him as bad as Peter's kiss, or as Peter denying him Judas's kiss. I believe others will know us as well as they exercise love towards us. I have worked with people that I knew a little bit about their lives, but as I began working with them and began developing a relationship with them, I got to hear things in their voice. And they said little things, just little hints. Sometimes you got to be willing to shut your mouth and listen, and you'll hear the hints you need to put the story together. Or maybe the question you needed to ask. We've all got a question to ask somebody. But you've got to put in time into that relationship to find out what makes them tick. I was going to show you information on little children throughout history. One person, his father claimed to be very religious. But he was a raging alcoholic, and he would beat his mother and his siblings and him. He would beat him up senseless. He would later grow up to such power that he killed 20 million people. I believe that was Joseph Stalin. It was either Stalin or Lenin. I can't remember which one. That's why I didn't do all the... But you see, we look at people like that and we say, they're just evil. They didn't start out evil. What happened? What made them that way? As I read down through this list of people who were notorious murderers, people who, in the case of Pol Pot and Lenin and Stalin and Mussolini and all these people, several of them had one common denominator. They had religious upbringings in which alcohol, first off, was a number one factor, and abusive situations. They turned their back on God. They are responsible, I forget how many millions, it would be close to 100 million deaths of all these people because of that. But here's what I'm asking you. You have to look at them and pray for them as if they are still that little boy whose father, in an alcoholic rage, beat his son and his mother, and the son had to watch. And just so you know, you can't go blaming the father either. I had an opportunity, when I came in from doing my notes last night, I went to my office at the house. I came in, and Angela's watching The Shack. That is such a good book and a good movie. And I was reminded of that again, that we cannot just blame. It's going to go back to Adam, folks. It's going to go all the way back. You've got to pray for these people. You know, much as Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and President Obama and all these people, he's not even president anymore, as much as they disgust me, Schumer, Pelosi, and sometimes even our very own president, I pray for them because they were God's children. Somebody made them who they are. They didn't just wake up and say, I'm going to sell my soul to the devil and I'm going to kill thousands and thousands of people. They became who they are. What do you think the Bible's telling us? He says, you'll see dimly in a mirror. Not just because mirrors back then weren't what they are today. I mean, crying out loud, we think that technology back then was so, so subpar. Do you realize that the columns in Athens and in Rome, these columns that are standing there, were hand cut, not lasers. We think we're so smart and so good. We got lasers that can... They hand cut those things so precise, they have not moved. Volcanoes have erupted. By the way, they're not glued together either. Not only are they so perfectly flat, but every flute in those 10-ton sections lines up with the next one perfectly. So why do we think they couldn't figure out how to polish silver up enough to see? After the fall of Rome, we went into a dark ages as far as knowledge is concerned. Rome had running water. Rome had sewers. Rome was highly developed. The Germans or the barbarians broke all that. And in their infinite wisdom, they said, forget it all. Let's just tear it all down. How about we use the public sewers instead of going back to dumping our stuff in the street? So we went backwards in knowledge when Rome fell. Then we went into the Dark Ages, spiritually and physically in this world. But we have got to stop going backwards with our growth. We've got to start maturing. God knows who you are inside. God knows what you've been through. You've heard the song, God Only Knows. And you will never truly know somebody. And if they ever feel like they can open up to you enough, that then you better understand they are giving you the best that they can. If they reveal something to you, it is not your job to go blab it. It is not your job to judge them. It is not your job to do anything but pray for them. Maybe you'll have a little understanding. When Jesus told us to judge not, lest we be judged, for in the manner in which we judge, we will be judged. I believe there's a part there. This is coming from knowledge. Knowledge that I have attained by experiencing it. Not only will you be judged in the end by how you judged, you will go through what they went through because of it. You will find yourself in judgment. You will bring judgment upon yourself. I judged my grandfather to be an alcoholic. So what did I do? Followed in his footsteps. If you're judging somebody, you're falling into their judgment. You will partake of it. I strongly encourage you not to do that. Life is so much better if you don't have to walk in that judgment. You don't have to repeat the things that were done before. God will spare you. He will spare us all. But we have got to mature in that love. I want to pray for people today. Some of you have a problem with what you see in the mirror. You think that if God, if people knew who you were, trust me, if anybody knew who I was deep down, you wouldn't be here. I've said before, I always thought I was just a happy-go-lucky guy. Until I realized one day that I was full of rage. Not anger. I mean Hulk crush rage. And I've seen it try to rear its ugly head. And it's not going to. It will not rule me. But you need to understand something. There's a reason I have it. And one of the things that irks me the most is religion. Religion that hurts people. That thinks it's better than other people. My stuff don't stink. I'm going to tell you right now, the bathrooms in the Hilton Plaza stink just as bad as they do in Motel 6. It don't matter who you are. We're all the same. God does know. But one day people will see. They'll see your scars. And they won't judge. They won't have pity. Oh, you poor person. No. Because first off, you've got to let God heal you. You've got to let God heal those scars. Scars have to heal properly. If they're not, they will be sensitive. They'll always have a little problem with them if they do not heal perfectly. If God can heal that scar in you, that wound in you, you won't be sensitive to it. I got scars on my body. They're my medals. I did this. I got this scar out of it. I got one right up above here from playing basketball. Got a few scars. I have no idea where I got them from. I don't remember them. But what I'm telling you is if you will let God heal, people will get to know you the way God knows you. That's why God hasn't given up. God doesn't give up on anybody. I'm not saying we give up. Sometimes we do have to let go, and God, they're in your hands. I can't control them. I can't steer them. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a parent, that was the hardest thing for me to do. For all those years, I told them little boys what to do, where to go, when to be back. And then when they became, in our culture, the age of a man, I had to hope and trust that I had did my job well. I know some of the mistakes they've made. I don't judge them. Some of them were things I told them. I warned them. Anybody's dad or mom warn you? Don't stick that bobby pin in that plug. Anybody else has told them that? It does bite you. Trust me. Those black ants, I'll just tell you right now, the black carpenter ants, they will bite your tongue. See, you are who you are because of your experiences in life. I don't care what people say. Well, you're a new creature. Yes, I get that new creature part. I need you to understand it. I get that. I'm a new creature because now I'm going to forgive and I'm going to grow and I'm going to change. But who I am, what I think, the compassion I have is based on what I've been through. If I've never gone through anything, I will never have compassion. I will never have sympathy for you. Oh, suck it up, buttercup. And I'll be honest with you, I mean, not everybody's going to get up here and do this, and not everybody should. I mean, being up here with a broken back. But the next time you get a little constipated, just remember, your preacher got up and preached with a broken back. I think you can go to work. I'm just saying. Excuses are like belly buttons, aren't they, folks? We all got one, and they're useless. All right, let's stand for a minute. Like I said, I want to pray for you. What I'm going to pray, and this is the only thing I'm praying for. I'm not praying for healing. Okay? I'm not going to ask you what's wrong, what you're dealing with. I'm going to pray, lay hands on you, that you can forgive the wrongs and that God starts to heal the scars. Some of them are open wounds. You know, if you get a wound and you, my brother, the first time I broke my leg, 6 weeks later, he broke his arm. That was quite a year because less than a year later, I broke my leg again. But when he broke his arm, he would not settle down. They would call him hyperactive. He just needed to get out. Giving everybody drugs or everything is stupid. The outside's a pretty good drug to me. Get out and run. He needed to be able to run and play. Teachers that gave up on him, that boy served 20 years. But he broke his arm. I think he was first or second grade. And when they put the cast on him and everything, I don't know how, but he somehow would move his arm. It got to itching, and he'd move his arm inside that cast. And because they had the thumb up here, he actually re-broke his arm. They finally had to, I don't remember what they did to finally be able to get him in there where he could not move his arm and keep pulling it back out. But he broke it, kept re-breaking it. So you can reopen a wound. Something starts irritating you, so you start moving around a little bit. By the way, has anybody noticed I haven't twitched? 2 weeks without twitching. I don't know. Fall in a well, eyes go crooked. Get kicked by a mule, eyes go straight. You have to be a vacation fan of that. But don't know. Not going to argue with it. I hated twitching. I think there were some nerves out of place or something. But, so come on up if you want me to pray for you. Those are the things I'm going to pray for. If you're having some troubles letting go of those things, then that's what I'm going to pray for. Because, like I said, and this isn't bring you up here and say, well, I can't forgive. No. Everybody's got something they have a hard time forgiving. I don't care who you are. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's days I have a hard time forgiving people. Especially since I started carrying this around with me. You know, I don't need a baseball bat, just a good maple walking stick. I serve the same God you serve. He's no respecter of persons. He will help you. He knows the wounds. He will heal the wounds. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray right now that you help them to forgive. I pray, Lord, that you help them to not relive the wounds, Father, but they let them heal, Father. I pray that as they grow and they walk in your love, Father, that you mature them. Father, you raise them up. You raise them up, Father, to be more than they ever thought they could be. Father, I thank you right now that you're dealing with the problems, Father. You're going to take them, even this week, on a journey that's going to help them to heal, Father, that they're going to finally be able to put those things to rest. Father, I thank you and praise you that as they are growing, you are restoring things to them right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing in their lives. I thank you that you're moving and you're creating a whole new outlook in their lives, Father, right now. In Jesus' name, I thank you for those healings. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, just let God do what he's going to do. It may hurt. I was reminded of that on the shack. And if any of you haven't seen the movie, watch it. I don't care what your thinkings are. Watch it. Don't be judgmental. Watch it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if that movie can't break your heart and get through what's got to happen, nothing will. Amen. All right. Go back to your seats and I'll pray and we will dismiss after I get some water. Which, by the way, the doctor believes he has figured out why I keep losing my voice. I have allergies. I have post-nasal drip. That's why I can't speak in the mornings. I said, it only happens twice a year, spring and fall. Never dawned on me. I'm like, well, I don't run around sneezing. I don't need to. I can't talk. I forget. This morning, Angela's like, oh, you're up. Yeah, I'm up.
Yes. Pray for me just if I get to go to the doctor Tuesday and I
Okay, now if y'all didn't hear that, she took a toe apart. Yeah. All right. Yes. Yes. I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I thank you, praise you for my sister, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that you've kept that toe clean and healed. Father, that it'll, when the doctor opens it up, Father, that it will be perfectly healed and it will be restored. Father, I thank you and praise you that there was no harm done in her unveiling of her toe. And now, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, how it moves in our lives. Father, how it shows us who you are, who we are in you. Now, Father, I thank you that you're moving in people today. Father, you're bringing their lives into alignment with your word as they've matured. Father, I thank you and praise you for them. Now, Father, I bless them. I thank you, Father, that as they go, these men and women go about their days and their weeks, Lord God, that you're bringing opportunities to them. Father, you're leading and guiding them. Father, you're showing them the way where there may seem to be no way. In Jesus' name, amen.